Hello and welcome to episode 157 of the Ancient Warfare Podcast. Today is an episode of Ancient Warfare Answers. My name is Jasper Oorthuis. I'm the editor of the magazine, and Murray Dahm is with me. He is the assistant editor of Ancient Warfare. And today, Murray is going to respond to a question from Rick, who wants to know if there are any other examples of ingenious entry into an ancient city, such as the Trojan Horse. If you want to ask a question, you can just let us know, send us an email via the website. Just look for Ancient Warfare Magazine and you'll find us, or you can become a patron and you can get a subscription to the magazine and ask a question via the patron interface. But now, Murray, Trojan Horse.
Trojan horses, indeed. So, short answer is no. There's no other Trojan horses as such. And, you know, that's one of the great things about the story of the Trojan horse. In terms of other ingenious ways of getting into city, they are myriad. And so sieges are this remarkable aspect of ancient warfare. We've had several sieges discussed in different articles and even whole issues of the magazine on siege warfare. And of course, there are all sorts of machines of siege warfare, the Assyrians all the way through to late Byzantine siege equipment in terms of ancient warfare. But the most common way of a city falling is not by storming its walls or breaking them down. It's generally by betrayal, or it's by starving a city out of food, water, and essentially starving them into submission. And we've got lots of sort of sieges in the ancient world where we get these remarkable stories of how a city falls. And in many cases, we have modern scholars expressing doubt about the reality of such a siege. For instance, we have the siege of Tarentum during the Second Punic War. We have someone who spoke the language of someone on the wall, got chatting to them, realized that they could sort of, you know, befriend them and get them to betray the city to them, and that's how they captured Tarentum. We have the idea of the siege of Vae during the Samnite Wars, and the Etruscan Wars, and you know, there's an underground fissure through which the Romans can enter the city of Vae and capture it. You've got the Huns in the late period in the 5th century with these peculiarly described archery platforms that most scholars go, that doesn't sound real. And of course, you've got, you know, siege towers, siege engines, ladders, circumvallation, and all those sorts of ways of getting into city. From films, you would think that most cities fall by one or two guys, you know, covering themselves in hay in a wagon and somehow making their way into the enemy city. But there's less of those in the sources than you would think. But certainly in terms of siege warfare, there's all these different sort of ways that sieges are conducted. And, you know, there's also a sort of a diplomatic to-ing and fro-ing. One of my favorite is the siege whereby so in the 4th century, after the Goths have invaded from 376 onwards, they would persuade deserters to go to the city, pretend that they weren't deserters, gain entry to the city, and then betray the city by opening the gates and allowing the Goths in. We have one source of that at Adrianople itself, that Sebastianus, the commander of the Magister Militum of Valens, goes up to the gates of Adrianople before the battle and says, "Let me in, I'm Sebastianus, I'm the Magister Militum." And they go, "Well, we're not going to let you in. We think you're a deserter who's pretending not to be a deserter." And so eventually Sebastianus persuades them that, "No, I'm a loyal Roman general who've been defeating the Goths, let me in." And that's a peculiar anecdote, because after the battle, that's exactly what the Goths try, and they're not let in. And then another siege, they try the same trick again. They do get in, but then they betray, they are tortured and basically give away that this is the plan. So it would seem that the Goths try that trick multiple times to get into the cities of the Roman Empire in the 4th century, because, of course, famously, Fritigern, the commander of the Goths, says that, you know, they're not going to take cities, that they should keep peace with walls. So there's all sorts of ways that cities are betrayed, whether it's through people climbing into an undefended part of the wall or finding someone with some kind of familial connection to betray that section of the wall to them, or other sort of anecdotes about certain times of the night when they can gain access, all the way through to just getting down to, well, we're going to have to storm the wall with siege engines and equipment. Obviously, one of the most famous is Masada. And, you know, the interesting thing there is that the ramp that they've had to build, which is still visible in the ruins today, says more about the determination of the besiegers to get in and gives a message to other cities that were thinking about resisting. Same, of course, with the siege of Tyre by Alexander the Great, that the building of a mole out to the city of Tyre on the island is so determined, and, you know, there's so many setbacks that is just a message to any other city on the Levant and down to Egypt that you should just let me in, because I will really mess you up if you don't let me in, and I will take your city. So there's a sort of all sorts of things going along like that. Demetrius Poliorcetes, obviously, we've had issues on his siege of Rhodes, which is ultimately unsuccessful, but the huge city taker tower that he builds, and the, you know, the expense and the time that he goes to build this equipment to take a city, it says more about the message that you're putting out there about your willingness to do what's required to take the city. Other sort of sieges seem to be storms of rapidly moving troops who get to inside the gates with the enemy. You know, that's unexpected, and so the city is sort of it's a fierce fight to get inside the gates, and you get that at when the troops during the Peloponnesian War go up in under Cleon, and that, you know, they take back several of the cities before Cleon is killed outside Amphipolis. And so those are remarkable as well in terms of how the siege is conducted, really in a sort of a minutiae where it's a small group of men who happen to get into the city and fight and are able to gain access, not these sort of Trojan horse big events. So in many cases, the betrayal of a city or the capturing of a city is a small, on the one hand, it's a small individual action that leads to the opening of the gates and the betrayal of the city. Or at the other end, it's all of those attempts at betrayal, attempts at negotiation don't work, and it comes down to just coming out and using siege towers and ladders and, the Hun sieges of Naissus and other places seem to be that they fire an ineffable amount of shots at the walls, which keeps the defenders off the walls from shooting the attackers. And then with rams and ladders, they are able to climb the walls and overcome the city defenses and things like that. So there's all sorts of anecdotes and accounts of sieges of in the ancient world from you know, the 3rd century BC, sorry, the 3rd millennium BC, all the way through to the 5th century AD, that pretty much covers every possible way you could imagine that a city would be taken, but only one Trojan horse.
I should add, but that's not ancient, but the from the Dutch War of Independence. It's a famous example here, 1590, the peat barge of Breda, in which they did hide a small detachment of troops in a barge that was supposed to bring a supply of peat for heat and burning to the besieged city of Breda, which got in. And it's basically, that is a Trojan horse variant, and they took over the city.
Had the general read his Homer? Probably, yes.
That was Maurice. Mm. So very likely he had.
Very likely.
Read his ancients. Yes. So thanks, Murray. That was interesting.
Pleasure.